be on the radio, the beard thing? Can you actually, is there like an audible beard noise?
There is an audible beard noise. Awesome. It's working. Yeah. Right, so coming up soon, honest to God, ASMR.
It's just me rubbing my beard on the microphone.
For an hour.
I can do my head too, actually. It's like just, like, I haven't shaved my head in a while, so it's a little like, I've got like a little bit of something.
That could be interesting. I'm not entirely opposed to that.
Really soft too, though.
What's that? I know, but I always feel weird. Like, I'm not comfortable with the honest to God After Dark episode.
He's like really whispering.
Like, I know, but that feels so unnatural to me. I don't like that at all. All right, ladies and gentlemen, sorry. I think we're rolling. I think we've been rolling for like half a minute. Is that right?
About half a minute.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
We've had a couple of false starts.
We did. But this is for real this time. We're really doing it.
Yeah, we are here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We got an all-star cast here today. We got Nene, who's never left.
Still here.
We've got Rachel. She's brand new. Nice to see you, Rachel. We got Julian. He's old. You're the oldest young adult today.
I'm the oldest young adult.
Yeah.
I think you called him Julian.
Did I call you Julian?
Yeah.
Or Thomas. Sorry, Thomas.
I was going to roll with it.
I appreciate that.
I know what you meant.
And then we got Timmy. What's up, Timmy? Doing all right?
Yeah, how you doing?
Dude, I'm living the dream. Thank you for asking. That's good. No one ever asked me back. Thank you, Timmy. Yeah, this is awesome. Well, as always, we got Julian.
How are you doing? I just stole Timmy's name. I'm going to ask you that every time.
How you doing? I'm doing well. It's going to be a great episode of Honest to God today. We're going to be talking about letting God work through you. And we're going to explain what that means here in a little bit. We brought in a resident expert on Mr. Thomas, all the way from Zenith Ministries.
Oh, yeah.
But before we do that, we're going to pray. And we got some fun facts. Anybody want to volunteer to lead us in prayer? Anybody? I mean, it was always going to be you.
I would love to. Yeah. In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for all the good things that you're bringing about in our lives through this awesome mission of the Honest to God podcast. I ask that you fill us while we spend this time together here, that you are with us in our thoughts and our words. Guide our discussion, guide what we say, also guide those who are listening right now, that they take away the message that you want for them, Lord, and that it is planted deep into their souls and bears tremendous fruit that lasts for an eternity. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Holy Spirit. 92.5. That was a good one. We've gotten a couple good, JJ got a A too without any kind of a bump.
He did. If you liked his prayer, smash that like button.
If you didn't, just let it go. You don't have to hit the dislike button or anything.
Hit the like button anyway.
It's fine. Yeah.
Give us a pity like.
If you didn't, hit the subscribe button. Yeah, there you go. Unless you're already subscribed. You know what I mean. All right. So we got a good episode today. I'm really excited about this. But I'm also really excited because we have two new guests on the show today, which means you guys each owe us three fun facts. We're going to start with you, Rachel, whenever you're ready. You look prepared. You give me I'm prepared vibes.
Yeah, I am prepared. Got a list, but had to pick some. Okay, so my first fun fact is that I used to sit in that chair where Julian is when I worked here like 3 years ago.
Nice.
It was a production. So I love The Quest.
We do too. We're big fans over here.
For sure. Second, I've been to the top of a volcano.
Nice.
On a mission trip.
Like an active volcano?
Yes. There was smoke. I mean, we didn't think it was going to explode because it hadn't for, I don't know, like 100 years, but it was smoking.
It could have.
That's the best time for it to explode.
Oh, yeah. The wind was blowing 60 miles an hour in the direction of like the pit of the volcano. So.
And you were doing a mission trip?
Yeah.
Well, maybe those people shouldn't live at the top of that volcano and then they wouldn't need people to come and help them.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't. That was the fun part.
Oh, good.
Beginning.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like that would have been a really easy like mission trip. Like stop living inside this active volcano and it would have helped. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Last one. I like 8 years ago spoke at the same conference as Matt Walsh, which was when I discovered who he was.
That's cool. Wow. Yeah. We're talking about Matt Walsh the last week on Honest to God.
Yeah, it was last week.
In reference to he had a really good interview recently with a divorce lawyer that was actually fascinating. Yeah, he got really into the weeds of some stuff and talking about some of the issues with how marriage and divorce laws are structured in the United States. It was really good. Oh, wow. All right, Nene, what you got?
My mom and I are planning a 3-week trip to Vietnam next year.
No way.
For my early birthday present.
That's fantastic.
Very excited.
What are you doing in Vietnam?
We're planning to visit family. I have aunts and uncles over there, and then I'm going to visit a little orphanage. I'm super excited for that, actually. I'm not going to lie.
Do you speak Vietnamese?
Very fluently. It was my first language growing up.
Would you mind, just so we can clip it, saying this is, you're listening to Honest to God on a production of AM 1160 The Quest?
No, but whenever I hang out with Dan, Dan makes me say this one thing every single time.
Probably something you can't say on the radio.
No, it's
from Dan. I love Dan. I'm a big fan of Dan.
No, yeah. It's for some reason he likes me saying go upstairs.
Are you just going to leave us hanging? You're not going to do it? You're not going to say it? Oh, come on. Gosh. At least give us go upstairs.
Dylan Mao. Well, I don't know why he likes me saying that. Dylan Mao? Yes. I don't know why he loves saying me saying that, but he does.
I have a weird memory about stuff like that, and I promise you I will remember Dylan Mao.
He's going to love
forever.
This. I'm going to tell him to watch this episode.
Okay. Yeah. We'll just click a clip and put on loop me saying go upstairs.
Every single time.
And then mothers in Vietnam can play that when their kids are up too late and need to go to bed.
That's scary. Just, don't do that.
Okay. All right.
Well, Thomas? My special fact is that I also speak Vietnamese, and that does not mean go upstairs. You guys should be ashamed.
Oops.
I'm just kidding. No. My special, what's it called?
Fun fact. It can be special.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Is I'm very bad at proofreading emails and texts, okay. Which is why I have editors for my blog, because I just make so many typos. Sometimes... Well, I'll proofread, but it's always like I'll hit the send button and then I'll quickly try to proofread it as it's leaving.
Before you hit the undo, do you have it set first so you can undo unsend?
But I can do unsend, but I never do unsend. I just take it. I take it like a man.
It's like life in the fast lane, man. I like that.
And, my texts are always riddled with mistakes. And I figure people are smart enough where they can like read through, mistakes on text and email.
Yeah, maybe.
As long as it's not super important.
Right. All right, that's cool. That was special, Thomas. Thank you. All right, Jimmy, what you got?
First fun fact, I played 2 football games in Ireland.
Yeah. Like, why? For what?
One of them was in high school, and then my high school team, I went to Marist, and we went over to Ireland, played a football game over there. It was when Georgia Tech and Boston College played.
Sure.
And then the other one was 2022, because I played at University of Nebraska. We went over and played in that same game. So it's kind of cool getting to actually play in the college game and then the high school game.
Is there a big turnout?
They're actually
in Ireland. Yeah.
A lot of Nebraska fans. Very
in Ireland?
Yeah, very passionate fan base.
That's really cool. I love that.
Mm-hmm. The whole stadium was red. It was wild.
Oh, but, wow.
Did you win the game?
No, we ended up losing. It was a bad game.
Not by a field goal, did you?
We did lose by 3 points, but not because of a field goal.
Who were you playing?
Northwestern. That was their only win of the year.
Well, we here at Honest to God are passionately against Northwestern and always have been. We'll die on that hill. Send this to all your friends at Northwestern just to let them know how much we don't like them. Please. Yeah. Fun fact, this episode of Honest to God is whatever the opposite of sponsored by Northwestern. We literally sent them money to never contact us again.
There's the Northwestern fan base we just lost.
Good. We don't want them. I'm glad. I hope they don't listen. Unsubscribe if you currently are Northwest. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Second fun fact, I can play the saxophone. Played it in high school.
Oh, nice.
Don't know how to do it. Third fun fact, one of 8 kids. So a big family. Grew up in a big family. So
where do you fall in the lineup?
I'm the 6th.
Okay. Yeah. That's fantastic. That was good. That was solid. You got anything today, Julian? You got any fun facts to share?
I do, yeah. Last time I talked about kangaroos, so today I'm going to talk about marsupials as a whole. And apparently marsupials actually have 2 uteruses, not 1. They have multiple uteruses and lateral vaginal canals, and their young are not born with placentas.
I did know the placenta piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got multiple uteruses. Very interesting. And I like marsupials because
it's great.
I don't
These are the kind of fun facts I'm after, actually. Yeah. Like, that's super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So
my not proof.
I don't want to learn about you. I want animal facts. That's what I want.
Yeah. No, we can move on. I'll share more about my love of marsupials and the comparison between the Holy Spirit in our life and a marsupial, and how a pouch is like, the body of Christ, and we can hop out of the pouch or be carried by the body of Christ, similar to the marsupial.
All right. Yeah. No, that's great.
That's kind of impressive. I'm cool. Not
Make sure you tune in next week for another marsupial fact from producer Julian.
That's right. Yeah. Keep it up.
I think they're fascinating.
And if you know any marsupial facts, comment them down below. Comment your favorite facts about marsupials.
No, absolutely. Please do that. If we can change all of our comment sections just to facts about marsupials, or we can pick a different like genus of animal every month.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
This month is brought to you by marsupials.
And if you are 1,000 subscriber to Honest to God, we will give you a 1-year free subscription to Marsupial Facts, where Julian will every day text you personally a random fact about a marsupial. And yeah, that's a real thing. That's a real thing we're actually going to do. So get to be number 100 or 1,000 or 1,000 subscriber.
I'm actually signed up for that already. It's amazing. Like, I couldn't recommend it enough.
Yeah. Well, this episode is not brought to you by Northwestern. It is brought to you by Marsupial Facts. It's not around yet. It's literally just Julian hand texting facts. All right. Sorry. Enough of that. So I want to get into the topic that we have today that I don't really have a super firm grasp on, but I know that it was sort of the brainchild of a post that you made or an article that you wrote. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Sure.
And then what the article is about and... then we'll talk about
absolutely it. So for Zenith Ministries, I write a blog that I release every week, and so if you want to subscribe to that email list, just go ahead and go to zenithministries.com, and there should be a place to enter your information for that at the bottom,
and we'll put it in the show notes too.
Please do. That's great. And so this week's blog was about how to let God work through you, essentially. I talked a little bit about that, and then I give 5 steps on how to do that. And really, it's something that I've been thinking about for a while, just because I work with guiding people to live out their faith, go overcome obstacles and really reach the height of being a human being, which is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, which is actually why I call it Zenith Ministries. Zenith is the height of like a movement. And discerning, like, I've heard so many people be like, I just want to be holy. How can I be holy? It's being holy is really like letting God, live in you, move through you. And really it kind of reached an apex or a zenith, the whole, me thinking about this when I was speaking with a guy who was a car salesman, and he was talking to me about what I do. I share I work with people cause I'm in ministry. And he seemed to be, not embarrassed, but just kind of like downtrodden about like the fact that, I just sell cars, nothing as noble as, working with people when I wanted to just, I wanted him to understand that no, what you do is very important. That you don't have to be in ministry to be in ministry. You can bring God into anything. And like, even if you're, in a cubicle all day, and you're working in an office, you're around other people and they need Jesus just as much as anyone. And so, I wanted to help him and people like him who are, wondering like, how can I, as like a grocery store clerk or, an investment banker or, a kindergarten teacher, how can I, allow God to work through me to help others?
And is it, and the article itself, but also the ministry that you do, is it practical things? And I'm not knocking what you just said, but I feel like we get a lot of that. That's sort of this, I don't know, ethereal, like, of course we want to be holy. Of course we want to bring God into all aspects of our life, but that's really easy to say and really difficult to put into practice, especially if you don't work directly, like that car salesman was saying, in something that is directly evangelizing, directly trying to minister to people.
It has to be practical because that's God. We have a practical God who wants us to do this. So I give some practical tips and I'll get to those. But first I think it's important to really, understand that, and this is the basis of everything. We simply just need to be filled with God and then bring him with us as we go out into the world. So just be in a state of grace, go to Jesus, ask him to fill you. We're Catholic. So we have the state of grace and, we can go to Mass and we go to confession. We frequent the sacraments.
Are efficacious. They really do a thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so then we are filled with God and we can bring him wherever we go. You go to the gas station to fill up gas. You go inside, you interact with the attendant. You are bringing Jesus to him. And people notice. people notice Jesus. And I take a lot of inspiration from Mother Teresa in my life, because, I mean, yes, she was a Catholic nun and she did, you know, all the Catholic stuff that we do. But, you know, she went, you know, to the streets of Calcutta, the streets of India. And it wasn't like she saw a child and said, oh, are you Catholic? Let me make sure that, like, she just was like, oh, you don't know how to read? Let me teach you how to read. Oh, you need food? Let me help you find food. You need, you know, you're dying in the streets. Let me help you, you know, die with dignity. And so I really think that has a huge role in how we interact with society. We need simply to love and be filled with Jesus. Yeah, there'll be times to use words and teach people stuff and talk about Jesus. Like, that's a beautiful thing to do too. But I really think if we're filled with God, He's going to move through us and He's going to lead us to what to do and what to say if that's necessary.
I think that's a good point. I do think that it's almost a lack of trust in God. Mm-hmm. If we're constantly brainstorming ways to, I mean, we should do that, right? We should be actively trying to bring Christ to other people. But if we're constantly like psychoanalyzing, how am I going to make this interaction with you meaningful for Christ and His kingdom? Mm-hmm. When the answer a lot of times is like, Lord, I trust you in this. I trust you in this moment. I trust that whatever needs to be said is going to be said. So let's go through. I want to open it up to everybody else, but I want to drill in on this article for a second and talk about the five steps in particular and just whatever it is you want to share, sort of practically speaking there. And I want to hear everybody else's thoughts.
Sure. Well, I love what you said too. It's like trusting in God. And I think something that drives home that point is a story I shared in the blog, where the story I heard, I don't know specifically the details, but this man was on a train and very holy man, and he would just take the train like as part of his commute, and just by sitting there like reading his book or just sitting to himself, there was another person in the train who was converted on the spot just by being around him.
Who had no idea? There was no interaction or anything?
No interaction. Just like by viewing this man, he like was so filled with God. And so that's another, like, not to say that like we're, in a way, we are all sacraments and that we point to, our bodies point to God, like theology of the body.
Sure.
But in a way too, like you said, the word efficacious, like in a way he was, although it was invisible, you know, you couldn't notice it, he had an impact on someone else just by them being in his presence. And that's pretty amazing. Cool. But that's how we can impact the world around us.
Yeah, I want to open that up a little bit. And once again, I do want to get into these five steps in a second, but I want to hear anybody else's thoughts on that. Sort of how you, not in some grand act of whatever, and I'm not knocking people who go door knocking and do stuff like that. I actually think that's a beautiful thing to do. Yeah. But how can we do that? Because I struggle with this question a lot because my job, everything I do is in some way tied to the faith. And that's something I have to be cognizant of and not sort of take for granted, right? And remember that, no, this is for something much greater than the fact that I'm getting a paycheck, right, by doing X, Y, and Z. But how do we do that? Or more specifically, how do you do that without, I don't know, being the Jehovah's Witness who knocks on the door and says, do you have a moment to talk about Jesus? Any thoughts?
I mean, this isn't like knocking on the door, like trying to actively go recruit, but I know, I mean, I just got out of college back in December and I've been up in Lincoln, Nebraska just till 2 weeks ago. So, and I've been involved with the community there. And one thing I noticed before, like at my old school, we didn't really have a Catholic community, but then in Nebraska, like interact with the people there and you can just tell there's some higher level of just like happiness within that community and 100%. It's contagious in there.
It's beautiful.
So I think, if you're just out and about and like, I would see it from them and I wanted to get involved in it. So I did, but like in my old school, I didn't have that. So I just think like being able to see and witness other Catholics out there living out their life and their happiness, I think it's just very contagious. And like you just said on the train, like obviously it was contagious there. The person, they didn't even talk to each other.
100%. I think joy, right, like real joy and peace comes from God ultimately, right? Who's the ultimate source of both. And I think that there is an evangelization that takes place just by doing what you ought, right? Just by being in a state of grace and like in the, I always say, if the best way to evangelize is to be joyful and be honest, right? So it's not, hey, Thomas, I want you to come do X, Y, and Z with me because of Jesus, because I really think that that's a really good thing to do. And it's more of, hey, look, I'm in a good spot. I've got my family and we're going to go to Mass. See you guys. And then if the question is, can I come with you? The answer is yes. But also if the question is like, why are you in such a good mood? Which no one has ever asked me, by the way. And the answer is, I went to Mass, got adoration today. I just like say my prayers, feel good. I think there really is something to that in that simplicity that I think we miss sometimes trying to almost over intellectualize and over sort of come up with the tactics to convert people. Nini, Rachel, you guys got any thoughts on?
Yeah, you're making me think of a friend I have, because I'm in a similar situation where I'm always in the Catholic community.
Right.
I want to be out there evangelizing, and I feel like I miss those opportunities. Like maybe just I have such an overt Catholic aura that mm-hmm. people don't want to listen to me. But I see it in people around me, like people that I want to emulate. And I have a friend who's, you know, in the Catholic community. And last year, her husband, maybe it was 2 years ago, it was when her son was graduating high school, and her husband, something, I don't know if it was a heart attack, something very dramatic, like he was in the hospital, he couldn't walk, something huge happened. And she would just keep showing up and people say, how are you? And she goes, I'm blessed. And it's like, that's always been her answer when somebody asks, how are you? Oh, I'm good. Oh, I have a bad day. None of that. It's always, I'm blessed. And especially seeing this with her husband, like being down for the count, right? As her son was winning, you know, they won the championship soccer game that year, and the father couldn't be there. And he like made it to graduation. And that was like the first time back out of the house or back out of the hospital, really. But all through that, like her husband could very well have died. And she just says, I'm blessed. And,
are you a Franciscan grad, by the way?
I am a Franciscan grad.
I'm a Franciscan grad. Oh, nice. Yeah, I was up there yesterday.
Really?
I was in Steubenville. Yeah, I just flew in from Pittsburgh a few hours ago.
What were you doing up there?
I was just visiting friends and hanging out in Steubenville for a little bit. Nice. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Cool. Yeah. Sorry, every time you're a Franciscan grad too. Yeah. Every time I see one of our people. What did you say? You say you're both? I'm sorry, I said you're a Franciscan grad. What did you say?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said I'm both. I was like, what does that mean?
No, I'm both a Franciscan grad and a Southern Catholic grad.
That's pretty cool. I'm just a Franciscan grad. Yeah. That's cooler.
Well, one day you can be a Southern Catholic grad.
I don't know. That's pretty cool. You're one of the rare ones, right? Because Southern Catholic wasn't around very long.
It was not. It was not. Yeah,
let's like get started on that. I'll spend the rest of the show talking about Southern Catholic.
Let's go, Southern Catholic. We are the founder's son in the house.
Yeah, it's true.
Right here.
It's true. We have accidentally had full Southern Catholic episodes because something started like that, and we had like Julian and Rachel or D. Tom or somebody on.
Oh, that's amazing.
We got a few minutes left, Julian. You got any thoughts before we go into break?
Yeah. Let's go with some thoughts here. I know that Thomas brought up a ministry in work. And, you know, for the car salesmen who are listening, and maybe Thomas, you could even give him this episode. I actually think that there's a huge opportunity that a car salesman has in ministry because their job is one-on-one. I think that we could talk about that a little bit more in the various career fields and how you could approach it. So I think that may be something good to get into because everybody listening does something different. So we can, that's something that I think we should get into on the next part. When it comes to, you know, your daily interactions, I think that foul language in your kind of everyday speech, if you can take that out of your vocabulary, it can really be a huge just difference maker in your day-to-day ministry.
I struggle so much with that. You're totally right.
It's not really a knock of those who do, but it's something that you can work on because I know I've worked on it hard, and now at work, if somebody says it in my presence, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. And I'm never offended when I hear it. But it does reflect a more positive Christ image. And I think that, you know, maybe we can get into that a little bit more on how one could work on that if they're struggling with it.
Yeah, I really want to dig into some of those practical things that we can really do. I know that I pitch this regularly, but having a spiritual director has been huge for all these things, like how I like my daily life. Mm-hmm. It's been amazing. I don't know if do you guys have spiritual directors?
I did.
I know you do. Do you have one? Yeah. Dude, it's the best. You should all get one. It's the best thing in the world to really just like drill down. And one of the big things my spiritual director has told me that's been huge is I do my I sort of do my examination of conscience at the end of the day. Really, it's at the end of the school day before I leave. I go by a little chapel, and it's been just a couple of minutes in there, and it's been giant for self-reflection and thinking, not just like, not just how am I doing spiritually, but how am I presenting myself to the world? Because a lot of people, I don't know who needs to hear this. We all probably do. A lot of you are going to be the church to most people that you meet, because they don't know a lot of Catholics who take the faith seriously. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge, huge responsibility. That's tough. And it's almost like an unfairly large responsibility, but too bad. Like you get to be the entire representative for the Catholic Church with the majority of people you meet.
And you'll hear the, well, if all Catholics were like you, but we all know that this is how Catholics are, or the church is, or Christians are. You get those comments a lot. And I think it's also important to maintain a bit of kind of keen, even attitude about it, and not take it personally when those comments are made, because they're right in some sense when people say that.
And on the opposite end too, spiritual pride. Right.
Yeah.
Not having your faith as a cudgel that we beat other people in the head with. Another thing. Everything I'm saying is literally just stuff I'm guilty of.
Same.
All the good stuff is stuff that I'm really bad at and want to do a better job, but I'm not. And all the good stuff or all the bad things are things that I'm absolutely doing all the time. All right. We've got about 2 minutes left. Thomas, do you want to, is it like step by step, like try X and then one?
It's like five things.
Can you give us one before we go to break? And then we're probably going to have to discuss it after the break, but I'd love to hear it.
Well, one is an easy one. So seeking friendship with God.
I want to get so much into that.
Yeah. And you guys were kind of even touching on that, like doing things like seeking friendship with God would include like, okay, cutting back on my cursing, trying to do, you know, the examination of conscience. But yeah, really like, you know, seeking to be friends with him, you know, walking with him, reminding that you're always in his presence, you know, keeping that communication open, which you would do with any friend, because when you think of God and like along those lines, right, it's going to impact you,
right,
and he's going to start speaking to you as well. He's going to start guiding you. You'll know things without knowing how you know them. You'll be able to give someone advice and guidance. You're like, oh, I don't even know where that came from, because you're such good friends with God that he is in communion with you, and you are essentially, it's leading you to that state of grace and that that relationship that is necessary for this life.
No, the whole friendship with God thing is one thing that the Protestants get so right that we neglect all the time as Catholics. That personal relationship with Jesus is not a Protestant heresy. It's a very good thing.
It's a beautiful thing,
right?
Yeah.
It's something that Christ is after. That was ours first, all right? They just took it and talk about it more because they're better at that one particular aspect. Way to go. Nothing else. We got all the other ones. All right. We're going to get more into that here in a minute. And then I want to go off on the weeds and some of these steps.
Absolutely.
But we're going to have to take a quick break first. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We'll be right back. Hey guys, John Henry here with Honest to God. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a moment, please run over to thequestatlanta.com. Drop us a dollar or two in the old tip jar. Thanks so much for being a supporter of the show. All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We're in studio with Rachel and Nene and Thomas and Timmy. Producer Julian's here.
How are we doing, everybody?
Yeah, vacuum of non-existence exists to my right. Our very own show notes, Benny, making the show notes.
Yeah, I tried. If you were here, you would have seen, but I tried to actually record him. I was like, let's get some bonus footage.
Actually really good.
Of show notes, Benny, and blinding light. Just we couldn't even see him on camera. I kid you not. We might even show that on here if I feel like adding it.
Yeah, which is better. The better of the two options. The other, which is just sort of the soul crushing darkness, is how I like to describe it. But anyway, regardless, the show notes get taken, and we're talking about letting God work through you. We got one step. We're all going to be pros at this by the time we're done. So we talked about step one, right? Mm-hmm. Which is friendship with God. Establishing, building, what was the word you used? What was the verbiage?
Establishing a friendship with God. How you would treat any friend.
Right.
You communicate, you spend time with them, you seek help from him, and they ask him, like, hey, let me be a help. as well.
And I think the response to that a lot of times, and I want to open this up to anybody because this is not specific to this article, but in general, I think the response from a sort of a critical standpoint a lot of times is it's a lot easier when I have friends who I can hear talking back to me. How do you respond to that? What are your thoughts? What we got?
I like hearing myself talk, and so I can talk for days.
Me too, Nene.
We can talk for days, and we already know this, but I think that having a solo conversation is a good way to, like, just vent, and you feel better about it at the end of the day. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, I think mine, this is going to sound kind of cliche, but it's true. I think my answer is that he does talk back, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's something that takes a whole lot of, I think a whole lot of kind of work at, like with any relationship. And I, 9 times out of 10, and this, I don't think it's scandalous. I don't think it's a surprise, but it's embarrassing to admit. 9 times out of 10, I don't hear or feel like a whole lot's going on when I'm talking to God. And I think that's okay because I'm not my feelings. They don't define me. They don't define reality. But still doing it. Father Mike Schmidt, I quote him a lot because he's wonderful. Incredibly attractive, Father Mike, if you're listening, big fan of that jawline. I don't know what you do, man, but you kill it. He says that pray to God and then shut up. And if you feel or hear something and it sounds like something God would say, then it's God and go with that.
Amen. Yeah.
And I love that, right? Don't wait for the booming voice from the clouds. That's not going to happen probably, but like getting in touch, right? Being able to actually achieve silence and peace and stillness is so much harder now than it has ever been with all the distractions that we have. And it's the best way to actually commune with our Lord.
What was like the first lie Satan told in the garden, right? Is, you know, did God really say that? And that's, he repeats that to us too. And we need to test things, definitely. But yeah, it's okay to have faith too.
Right.
Especially if it's encouraging, if it's something that you think God would actually say.
Hmm. Right. Nice. All right. What's the second one?
The second one is going to sound simple, but it's really important, and it does actually a lot. And the second step is to ask God to work through you, because, you know, he says, ask and you shall receive, right? And he wants you to be humble, to show that humility is, it's going to move mountains. It's going to be powerful. And then to like lower the walls, you know, and be vulnerable with God is really what he wants as well.
Does that mean literally say like, Lord, please work through me, maybe an instrument?
Through me. Yeah. When I meet with people, and I'll another step that I do is, you know, ask forgiveness for all the wrongs that I've done. And we'll get to that in a minute. But then I say that. And then I say, Lord, please don't let me, please work through me, pretty much. Like, don't let me get in the way of what you want to say to this person. And so it's important, because you think it'd be kind of redundant and silly, but no, because you're essentially activating faith. Like, you're showing faith that, like, enough to like step out and ask him for it, and then you're being humble, which is like it's like the debit card to go and, like, you know, go before the Lord. And it's not like we're like doing it just to get what we want, but, you know, you're showing humility, which is a powerful virtue.
And so stinking difficult.
Yeah.
For me. I think it's temperament driven in a big way.
Well, if I was you, it'd be hard for me to be humble.
Too. Yeah. No. It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way, to quote Mac Davis. You hear that song? You know that song?
No,
it's not. Oh, come on.
Mac Davis?
Yeah, Mac Davis is the singer. It doesn't matter. Everyone who grew up in the 70s, like I didn't, but still.
Must have been before my time.
That one. Yeah. Okay, no, I like that. I like the humility piece. I feel like that's really hard, though. Like, how do you, and I'll throw this out to everybody, humble yourself before God? Like, how do you do that? I have some ways that I humble myself before God that I'm happy to talk about, but I would love to hear y'all's thoughts on how you do that. How do you practice that humility before our Lord?
I'll chime in while we have a break. Yeah. Or I shouldn't say, it's just a moment of pause, is I try and be the first to apologize.
Are you saying?
In a fight with the spouse, or so, I shouldn't even say fight, any disagreement, I try and be the first to apologize. It's because my pride will take over. And like, oh, well, she needs to apologize to me because she did this, or this.
Right.
But then I'm reminded, hey, this is a way you can humble yourself before God. Even if I am 100% right, I can still apologize.
As I always am.
Yeah. but yeah, if I try and be the first to apologize and just find something I did wrong.
How is apologizing your wife, humbling yourself before God, though?
It is allowing myself to reflect on my own faults, mm-hmm. and knowing that my wife was a gift to me from God, mm-hmm. and that I can give glory and honor to him by humbling myself before her.
Yeah. No, that's great. I'm still a dog on this bone because once again, I need examples. I need ways to humble myself before God, because that's something that I really struggle with. One thing that I've done, once again, going back to my spiritual director a lot, is I start all my prayers with thank yous, right? Thank you. And I specifically, not just Lord, thank you for all my blessings, but Lord, thank you for my spouse, and thank you for my children, and thank you for my, and I just sort of go through this litany of things that I do not have because I deserve, but I have because they are blessings from God. Mm-hmm. And then I usually get into the I'm sorries, right? The prayers of repentance. And then eventually I get to the pleases, right? The Lord, please help me with this, help me with that. I don't know. Any other thoughts on, yeah.
I stink at being humble. Yeah. So it's definitely something I pray for. And there's kind of two ways that I've looked at how to pray for humility. And I'm still on the easier one, because you can either pray, and what I pray is, Lord, give me the grace to be humble, or Lord, humble me. Lord, humble me is much harder.
That's so scary. That one's kind of scary. Yeah.
But so it's like I don't want to be humbled, but I need to be. So I'll pray, like, give me the grace to be humble, so when you put me in those situations where I'm humiliated, that I can take it with humility.
Right.
It's hard.
No, it is hard. And I like how you said there's the sort of the two tiers of don't say, Lord, humble me. Or you don't have to say, Lord, humble me to start with, because that is terrifying.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when I pray for patience from God, I always specify, I'm not looking for opportunities to practice patience, Lord. Please just give it to me. Please.
But yeah, he'll give you many opportunities and more than you wanted.
He does. He does a lot.
He does a lot.
Anything else? Humbling ourselves before God? How we do that practically?
I journal. I journal every single night. I'll be like, kind of like, write at my list. I'm like, thank you for this. I'm praying for this. And I always end it with, give me the patience, just to go about my day going forward, because I love my parents, but they push my buttons a little bit sometimes. The other day we were driving home from dinner and I was driving, and I was like, well, take this way instead. I'm like, no, let me drive. Let me just drive it the way I know. He's like, no, take this way. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. So I drove the long way home and we hit traffic. I'm just like, if we did my way.
But did you complain about how you hit traffic and it was their fault the whole time?
I may have mumbled a little bit under my breath, but then I got home, I said, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, it was a good way to spend time with my parents in the car.
That's good. That's really good.
I'm like, give me the patience to like calm down on this drive home. So I'm like, got home. I'm like, hey, cool. Thanks for dinner. Bye. Love you. Right. Went to bed.
Yes. I love that, because and Julian, you kind of touched on this too. It's because it's like, by humbling ourselves to others, mm-hmm. it like exercises that humility muscle,
right?
So that they like we're more humble before God too.
100%.
It's like, hey, I'm being humble with everyone, even God.
Well, yeah. so much of sort of a journey of faith, or just maturity, right, in general, is that understanding that you are not your own and you're not made for yourself.
Love that.
Right? You don't exist for you. You're not here for you. You're here primarily, right, to spend eternity with your creator, but then secondarily, once again, way before anything involving yourself, you're here for the people around you, right? And those are sort of concentric circles, right, of like your primary vocation, secondary, tertiary, people in your community, all that stuff. But yeah, and that's really tough, because we're selfish creatures by our nature. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for three.
Number three. Okay, this one is to be open to what God wants. Because often we can, have a specific plan in mind, or like, okay, God, use me, like work through me, but I want to do it in this way. Like, I want to do it, I want to be quarterback for the Nebraska football team and do all these things and like make all this money so I can bless others, but no, because God might want to, he might actually, want to use you, as like the water boy, or like, use you as the team manager, or there might be different lives that you can touch, different, right. you know, outcomes that you never even planned for, that God has in mind that actually would bring you more peace, more satisfaction. But leaving that aside, what you get out of it aside, there's still other people who might be touched. Like maybe, you know, like driving, you know, getting stuck in traffic, you know, you were able to have that conversation with your mom that, you know, never would have happened if you guys didn't have to like the wait that extra, you know, 4 or 5, you know, 20 minutes average. So that's, God has this big picture,
right,
that we just get a little bit of, little well, view of.
And that conversation might not be some big life-altering thing. It might be the tiniest seed that is eventually going to lead to something else, absolutely. To something else, to something else, yeah. right? I mean, it's that whole not my will, but thy will,
yeah.
right? Over mm-hmm. and over and over again. That, once again, is so incredibly difficult.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do is like to go into like stores and restaurants and try like to outdo myself. Like how can I be like the nicest person these people have ever seen? And they're like, how can they like just feel absolutely loved? And you just don't know, like any store you go into and you do that, right? As you're just going to the store, like I'm just getting apples, you mm-hmm. know, and I could, you know, God could have worked through me just getting an apple. So we can't really measure, or we can't give value to all these instances and circumstances that we're in, because God sees truly what's going on.
Yeah. I was gonna say something, please. So I grew up homeschooled or going to hybrid school, and so shout out to any homeschool moms out there, because you guys are probably the busiest women in the world. And we would run all over the place, and I had piano lessons in Atlanta, which was in the like South Cobb area, and then we'd have to come home in rush hour. And you know, my mom, when we would it drove my sister and I nuts, but when we would be in traffic, she would blow bubbles out the window at cars and just wave at people while people are, you know, upset and swearing and everything else like that. And she's just sitting there blowing bubbles. And we'd be, of course, as children, I'm like, no, you're embarrassing us. But now I look back on it like that. That's a really good way to give glory and honor to God, especially if you've got some sort of, you know, no Jesus, no God bumper sticker that some people like to have or choose life.
I got a guy to play rock, paper, scissors with me one time on 75 northbound in the middle of Atlanta, stuck in traffic. I was really proud of myself.
I beat you too.
Yeah, you did not. That was not Utah.
You were going the opposite way, so we just were really quick.
You just didn't.
I was going north, you're going south. Traffic, and I kept doing this, and the guy was like, sorry, I probably shouldn't make hand motions for the radio listeners there. I pantomimed rock, paper, scissors, and it worked, and it picked it up. It was cool.
Amazing.
All right, what's number four? I don't mean to rush you, but I want to make sure we get through all these.
And I alluded to this earlier. It's to ask forgiveness for the wrongs you've done. If you're Catholic, you know, go to confession, or even, you know, ask forgiveness for the sins. Like, you know, before you have a meeting with someone, like, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. You know, please forgive me.
What? Yeah, people need to hear that you can say the act of contrition when you're not in confession.
Absolutely.
It is part of my daily prayer routine. Yeah. It needs to be a part of my daily prayer routine.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a buddy of mine who struggled with blasphemy. He'd say, "Oh my God," right? Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And he started, so every time he said, "Oh my God," he would catch himself and then immediately go into the act of contrition. He would go, "Oh my God.
Love that.
I'm heartily sorry for having offended you." I thought that was so cool. I thought that was what a great way to handle that. Like out loud. Like it was really cool. I thought that was neat.
Yeah, that's great.
So are you saying, when you talk about asking for forgiveness, are you talking particularly about to God, like the sacrament of confession?
Yeah.
What about to others? And that's a genuine question.
Like, yeah, sure. Well, in this case, because you want God to work through you, if there's someone you need, you know, beg forgiveness from, by all means, do that. But in terms of this, I'm thinking, you know, just to kind of like remove any attachments that you have to anything other than God.
Sure.
Which you do by asking forgiveness, so that, you know, there's no obstacles
right.
in working through you.
And that's a big humility piece too, I think.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
All right, what's number five?
Number five is a big one, is to trust that God is working through you even when it's hard to see it. So don't like look for evidence. I kind of alluded to that earlier. Like, don't look for the fruits, essentially. Just like trust. Like, you're doing all these steps, you're seeking friendship with God, you're asking him to work through you, you're being open to what he wants, you're asking forgiveness for, you know, the wrongs you've done. And then just trust that, like, he's with you and he's bringing good out of your interactions.
Anybody have tips or thoughts on building trust with God? We were talking about this either earlier this episode or last week about trust and how difficult that is.
It's hard.
I'm the same, but I think our personalities are really similar in a lot of ways, actually, mm-hmm. Nini. So like, I get it. Like I struggle with trust in general, but I struggle with trusting God. I know I can, once again, I can intellectually ascend to that. Like I should trust God. That's really hard to actually do. What are thoughts or tips? Anything? I don't know.
I gave a talk one time. I'm sorry to interrupt, Timmy, but we'll get to you in a second. I gave a talk one time at a confirmation retreat recently where I talked about fortitude and just knowing that fortitude is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I compared it to a time that I had to go through a search and rescue mission mm-hmm. when I was in the military. And I literally had to get lost in the desert and just know that I was going to be found. And I'm not, obviously that talk was an hour, so I'm not going to take over the whole rest of the episode with that. But just knowing that God is the ultimate rescuer in any situation. So regardless of whatever you have going on, know that fortitude is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you've received the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You just have to like kind of understand what it is and know that it's there and it's been made available
that,
to you.
I know that's true. I just have hard time believing it's true. Does that make sense?
All right, fine. I'll throw this at you then, and then we'll get to Timmy. If our the U.S. military, and we know how great the United States government is,
there were can air quotes
can find a pilot lost in the desert or lost in the jungle from a little piece of electronics, then God can do many, many more wonders greater than the United States government. So yeah. There you go. There's your tip, Timmy.
Yeah, no, all I was going to say was just like, it's difficult to trust God, but I've noticed once you do trust him, you say it's just a short period, like 1 week, you just test it out, you trust in him versus what society is telling you what happiness is.
100%.
And you compare the two. Mm-hmm. One might sound worse, like the trusting in God might sound worse, but in reality, if you actually live it out, it's right. much better than you living a happier life, I've realized. So,
yeah, no, 100%. I do. I know we keep coming back to this theme, but it is true that joy. I'm going to use the word joy instead of the word happiness, but joy is such an indicator of being aligned with our Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean a lack of suffering or a lack of pain or a lack of frustration or a lack of sin necessarily, even, right? But it does mean that. Joy and comfort and contentment, right? Yeah. Those are all from God, right? Mm-hmm. Happiness can come from the reason I make the distinction. Yeah. I view that more of as an emotion, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to sort of a state of being, right? Happiness can come from cocaine, right? You can feel good in the moment, but that's not joy.
How would you know, John?
There's not joy. I don't know.
I like that, because bouncing off of that, I think one time I went to work and it was after I did my consecration, everything. I went to work and my coworker was just like, "You're glowing." I said, "Am I really?" They're like, "You're glowing." So I had a whole conversation with her about the consecration. She was like, "That's why you look so happy."
Did you? And you had a conversation with her afterwards?
I did.
Oh, praise God. That's beautiful.
This is, I think, like two years ago.
Yeah.
And she's also Catholic too. So we just had like a full on conversation about the consecration. I think she ended up doing it next round. I'm beautiful. Like, I love this.
Yeah. Y'all, once again, please, please don't shy away from being honest and unafraid, right? And sharing your faith in little bitty things like that. Mm-hmm. Like that's such a good story.
It was great. She was like, "You're glowing." I said, "Oh my God, stop." I was so happy. Made my day.
I love it. Right, we're about at 7 minutes, Julian. You got any thoughts?
Yeah. Producer Julian, rant for today.
Julian wants to rant about something.
Yeah, we're going to rant about something. So my rant for the day is about secular music. Why is it that secular music is all about pretty much the seven deadly sins all in one song? Every single song that comes on the radio nowadays, it will tap it all. Listen, it will tap lust. It will tap greed. It will tap wrath. And just to name a few, every single song, and it drives me nuts. Can the secular music world start bringing back more wholesome music like the days of Frank Sinatra? Well, it's Frank Sinatra sometimes. But you know,
Black Sabbath.
Motley Crue.
Snoop Dogg.
So that's my rant. What's going on with secular music today? Or you know what? Fine. We'll take it a step further back. We'll go back to like music from the 20s. Where is that music? Where is that?
When the big brass bands disappeared, man.
Entertainment.
Desi Arnaz, Ricky Ricardo up there with them, not even being ironic right now.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation. I know we've derailed a little bit, but I want to go off on this for 1 second. I was having a conversation with our chorus director the other day at the school where I work, and we were talking about hip hop. And I don't think hip hop is intrinsically evil, right? I don't think that just a type of music is in and of itself intrinsically evil. But I said, actually, we had this conversation like 15 years ago while playing racquetball. Oh, I was talking about when I hear hip hop music, I hear bad words in the songs.
Yes.
Even when it's some Christian rap or whatever.
Christian rap.
Like, I just make up bad words.
Yeah, it's so jaunting. You're like, wait a minute, what am I hearing?
Well, and what the chorus director she said was, it's because hip hop music puts rhythm over the melody and the harmony of mm-hmm. the song, right? These things, melody and harmony that are supposed to be ordered and beauty and the synchronization. And we had this great conversation about mm-hmm. how when you totally sacrifice that for the sake of beat or rhythm, it doesn't make it intrinsically evil, but it makes it a much more sort of guttural, emotional response mm-hmm. in like a sort of an aggressive way. And then she did this great thing about how that's why everybody's used drums in war from, you know, today all the way back to cavemen and stuff. I thought it was super interesting.
Yeah,
it was
interesting.
I've actually heard that I think some of the philosophers from a pre-Jesus time were discussing how music can affect a person's soul and how they can use it as a means of population control, mind control, and everything else like that. So I can't imagine what the development of the 2000 years of these think tanks that are out there today and what they're using secular music to do to the human population.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just my rant of just keep listening to Honest to God and your soul it should be in at least the right direction.
Your soul will be saved. Is that what you're about to say? We're going to have salvation.
100% going to heaven.
We're just going to have a
no more indulgences.
Surprise priest giving a general absolution sometime soon, but you got to watch every single episode to get it. All right, that's really good. We're about to go over to loaded questions or popsicle sticks here in a second. But before we do, any last minute thoughts, any
closing
last
thoughts.
Ideas to throw out for letting God work through you?
I have one.
Yes, ma'am. What you got, Rachel?
Yeah, something Thomas was saying earlier. Now I've lost track of where it was, but you were making me think of my dad. And hate giving shout outs to him and letting him know that I actually love him and all that.
No, take care, Dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't know. He's cool. He's a convert. Nah. Timmy's my cousin, by the way, so we're very related cool. over there. But my dad works in the secular world, so kind of going back to the beginning. He works in IT. He works with a bunch of Indians who are like not Christian, and like they're very cultural, and they might celebrate like a cultural Christmas, but they're not Christian sure. at all. And he's crazy how he's evangelizing just by being who he is.
I love that.
And you don't look at him and go, oh, this guy screams Catholic,
right.
but he loves The Chosen.
Oh my gosh, and
he's
so good.
Yeah, and he's just that stereotypical, hey, have you watched The Chosen? And like he goes to his coworker who's not Christian and says, have you watched The Chosen? No. Okay, well, you have to watch it. And he's telling her like constantly, watch this show. And finally she's like, okay, I'm going to watch an
That's
episode.
Awesome.
And there he is, you know, using The Chosen to evangelize in his daily life
yeah.
with other IT people.
I take back a lot of what I said earlier. The best way to evangelize is to get people to watch Jonathan Remy on The Chosen. Like, seriously, I'm all about The Chosen. I thought it was going to be so hokey and terrible, like so much Christian media is, and it was so good. Mm. All right, we're going to close up real fast. We've got a few minutes left. We're going to go through loaded questions. Those of you who haven't done this before, just pick one. Just pick your favorite. We'll answer them fairly quickly.
Or your least favorite.
Yep. Whichever one you want. Mine, I pick, it says, what would you like your nickname to be? Great question. I do carpool on Mondays and Wednesdays, and we get walkie-talkies, and so I give everybody call signs, and nobody pays attention to it except for me, and I think it's really funny. And I've called myself Nighthawk for the past 5 years on the walkie-talkie.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I love that.
So
love
I like
it.
Nighthawk.
Okay.
All right. What you got, Rachel?
Oh boy. What is your favorite thing to eat for breakfast? I like chocolate chip waffles, but we haven't let my son have sugar yet. So it's like a battle of you get the plain pancakes, I get the chocolate chip waffles.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah. But
okay.
I win.
Dang.
I win.
Mine would be, if you could be considered great at one sport, what would it be? Lacrosse. I love lacrosse.
Really? Lacrosse.
I used to play in high school, and I think it's just the greatest sport. Ever.
I didn't know lacrosse was a thing until I moved to Atlanta. I had no idea. I'd never heard of it. I
it's
knew nothing
a
about
West
it.
Coast thing, which does not surprise me because I'm from the West Coast, and that's why I love lacrosse so
it's
much.
It's been around since like the 1800s.
Yes, yeah, so Indians played it.
Indians played it.
Indians played it. That's a great
maybe
sport.
Maybe before the 1800s. Yeah.
Probably made it better in the 1800s. Like cooler stuff. I don't know. I'm sure the Indians did a great job. Do I have to be careful about not offending pre-1800s Native Americans on the show? Sorry, Thomas.
Notre Dame just actually won the ACC lacrosse tournament.
Lacrosse?
Yeah.
What?
Notre Dame.
Go Irish.
Go Irish.
Yeah, Ryan Hart is currently in the national championship.
For lacrosse? Girls or boys?
Boys.
Really?
Nice. And girls too, but I used to take pictures for the men's lacrosse team, so.
We do need to move on to Thomas. We're running out of time.
Okay. What is something you have to buy and it's a tie between food and gasoline for my car?
Hmm. Wait, the question was, what is the thing you have to buy? Yeah. All right.
What is something you have to buy? Done.
Yeah, that's easy.
Jamie.
What is your favorite book? For some reason, book that I've always liked most is Of Mice and Men.
Oh, yeah. That's a good book.
Lenny.
I was literally about to make a Lenny reference. Yeah. Come on.
Nice.
That was a crazy ending.
Mine's what do you love most about school? And it is the fact that you can learn without any sort of pressure to, you can fail or mess up and it doesn't really mess anything up. Whereas if you're in a job, you could literally, destroy a multi-million dollar piece of machinery if you do something wrong. But in school, there's generally things in place where it's okay if you mess up because that's part of learning.
I know I messed up a lot in school.
Yeah.
All right, guys, this was really fun. Thank you all so much for being here. We're going to go ahead and link that article down in the show notes. Be sure that you check that out and check out Zenith Ministries and all the wonderful stuff they're doing over there. And that's all the time we have today.
It is.
You're watching Honest to God on... Oh, I'm sorry. You were watching Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 Clay, Atlanta Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over now.